Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Discussing a survey or study done by the Cato Institute, looking at Americans and their opinions, if they have any at all, about the so-called central bank digital currency, or the CBDC. And this is something that is sort of out there, potentially on the horizon somewhere, as the federal government thugs are considering adopting the CBDC technology. They're looking over at other countries like China or Nigeria, where they are either in the process of adopting or have adopted the CBDC. I think there's something like 7 countries where it's either available, it's now, it's happening, or it's like coming soon. The gears are turning towards releasing the CBDC, which would, of course, give government total economic control over the people of those countries. And, you know, you expect that from China, for instance. And the United States, of course, would love to have that ability as well. Now, here they're going to have to be a little more careful about it. You know, they're not going to just be able to... They're not going to just roll out the CBDC and then pull cash. Cash isn't just going to disappear right away.
Ooh.
They're not going to. That would cause an uproar.
You know, you're probably right, but they have already withdrawn larger denominated bills.
That was years ago, but yes, they did do that. What was that? I don't know, 40 years or more? I mean, I don't remember ever seeing large denomination bills.
Me either.
I don't
necessarily know they existed in my lifetime, even.
Yeah.
But they did exist. And
they did. $500 and $1,000 bills used to be a thing. And, of course, they use drug dealing as the excuse to get rid of
that. That's where it starts. Yeah. But now you can't even do a transaction that's over $600 without it being reported to the government.
Yep, that's a recent change. So they talked to people in this survey asking them their opinions about the CBDC, again, central bank digital currency. And not surprisingly, most Americans didn't know anything about it. They've never heard about it. There's roughly 3/4 of Americans that said they didn't know anything about the CBDC, 72% to be exact, and only 28% of Americans were familiar with the CBDC. And how familiar they are, I don't think we got into that detail. But then they did explain to the people on the survey, you know, what the CBDC is, what are the things that could be done with the CBDC. And by the way, Democrats are more likely to accept the idea of the CBDC just by default without learning anything about it. However, when informed of the fact that a CBDC could allow the government to control what they spend their money on and when, 74% of Americans then decided they don't like the idea of the CBDC. And in fact, both Democrats and Republicans don't like that idea. 71% of Democrats and 82% of Republicans would oppose a CBDC if the government could control what people spend their money on. So that's, again, a little bit of good news here. Although, Chris, you're skeptical that it's going to matter when it comes down to it, right? Because the government's, if the government just says they want to do a CBDC, well, what are the people going to do about it?
Yep.
You know? I mean, you could try to refuse to adopt the CBDC. I mean, that would be a potential thing that you can do initially.
Discontinued cash, like they did in India.
Well, have they? I don't think they've discontinued cash.
I think bills over like $1 have been discontinued.
Right. So that's the question: is how? What are the tactics that they're going to use to disincentivize the use of cash? And that's one of them.
When you need a wheelbarrow,
right,
to buy lunch, you're probably not going to use cash anymore.
Well, that's a good point, right? So we know inflation's happening.
Yep.
And so we've seen what happened in Venezuela, for instance, with hyperinflation, where it literally did get to the point, where, and it is to the point, where the cash is so valueless that they're actually using it to, like, make things out of. You could go into the streets in Venezuela, and from, like, a street vendor, you could buy a purse or a wallet literally made from the Venezuelan bolivar, in which you could then put things, right? You got a purse made out of bolivar. They were weaving.
And it's worth more than the dollars it was made from.
Yeah, yeah, because somebody took the time to make it.
Right.
But it's weaved baskets, you know, weaved handcrafted goods were being made from the Venezuelan bolivar. It was so worthless that, yes, you would need stacks and stacks of it to simply go out to eat at a restaurant. And, of course, as you pointed out, it was to the point where if you went into a bar and you bought one beer and then you drank that beer and then you bought a second beer, the second beer would cost more than the first beer because the price had gone up.
You know, the thing with the whole, you know, outlawing cash thing, it's that what they'll probably do, if I had to speculate here, is they know inflation's happening, right?
Right.
So they probably will simply, you know, ban $100. They'll get rid of $100 bills or $50 bills.
Yep.
And then in a couple of years from now, it's going to take, you know, 50 bills in order mm-hmm. to buy lunch. And at some point, it's going to be unmanageable.
Well, it already costs 40 or 50 bucks to buy lunch.
It does, but we do have, you know, $20 bills, and we do have 50
and
$100 bills.
So. Yeah. No, I think you're right about that. I think they're going to get rid of the higher denomination bills. That's an easy thing for them to
right.
do. And they'll use the excuse of drug dealers, right? And then people say, oh, okay, well, you got to do it. And then it'll take them some time, right? Because it takes them time to suck the old bills out of circulation. So it's like whenever somebody goes into a bank, they turn in 50s and 100s, then they don't come back out.
There's some other things they'll do, too. And they've already started, actually. They now charge a fee, a percentage, if a business goes to deposit cash.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
right.
They're discouraging businesses from depositing cash.
Yeah, great point. So I think you're going to see more of that. You'll also see disincentivization in other ways. So, for instance, if you are going to get a government payment, maybe there's going to be some sort of UBI, the income tax refunds, welfare checks,
yep.
some sort of government payment, you know they're going to make that a mandate. Like, if you want the money from the government, then you're going to have the government app.
Certainly if you want it fast.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe they'll still give people the opportunity to get it in a different way, but they don't have to.
And then eventually they'll just continue the
other option
method.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's another thing they're going to do. They're going to incentivize people to get out of the dollar.
You know, interestingly enough, I've already seen this happen.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at businesses and, like, doing, like, filing paperwork with the government, there are certain things that you cannot do as a business, or you cannot do as a business if you have more than, you know, X employees or X dollars in revenue.
Mm-hmm.
You have to file electronically.
Yeah, that makes sense. If you don't have a computer, then you got to hire an accountant that does, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're
going to go to your phone calls here. Your thoughts are certainly welcome, but this is something that they are absolutely considering doing, the CBDC, and I think it's probably going to be coming whether people like it or not, and that, of course, you know, leads to the question of what can you do about this? Well,
I know the answer to that. Mm-hmm. Goldbacks.
Cryptocurrency, goldbacks, these are going to be some alternative options that are going to be very difficult for them to stop people from using. They're trying to stop cryptocurrency. And hopefully they will fail in their mission. But we can talk more about that coming up here. Let's talk to Sarah first. She's in New Mexico. Go ahead, Sarah. Sarah in New Mexico going once. Sarah in New Mexico going twice. All right. Let's try this caller. We've got David Butt on the line in New Mexico. Go ahead, Mr. Butt.
What'd you call me, dude?
Mr. Butt.
You called me David Butt.
Yes.
How do you get from major pain in the butt to David Butt?
Would you prefer
what
just
kind of
Mr. Butt? Would that be preferable to you?
How do you? Well, I thought my rank and title was major. How do you get Mr. out of major?
No, you got to earn major.
No. The original Major Pain certainly hasn't earned major.
I think he has.
I have to earn it.
I think he has.
I'm just kidding, Major. Don't get all worked up. So anyway, so I can start calling Mr. James Baker, James Baker, then, huh?
Who?
James Baker.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Arya DeMezzo, aka.
Oh, you're dead naming. You're dead naming.
Well,
Arya.
You're dead naming me, dude.
Yeah.
So, major pain in the butt. Okay, so moving
show
on.
Show me your driver's license with that on it.
Is Arya DeMezzo on James Baker's driver's license?
Arya DeMezzo is on Arya DeMezzo's driver's license.
Oh, but not on. Okay, so not on James Baker's anymore. Okay. Anyway, so the things you're talking about could all be solved, and I think they will at some point, because people are starting to catch on, by stating the fact that the government that you have is illegal. They're not legitimate, and they're afraid you're going to find out. So you're talking about inflation. Our government has no legal right to control what tools you use to transfer wealth. All money is, all currency is a tool, like a hammer, mm-hmm. to do a job. And that's so instead of having to tote around a whole cartload of cabbages to trade for, whatever you want to trade for, you use something fungible, you know, like your cryptocurrency, your gold backs, or your U.S. dollar. And government has no legal authority to tell you, huh?
I think from a moral perspective, I would 100% agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I think from a practical perspective, they've already said that they do. The feds have gone after so many people for developing the tools, for making them available, and for even just using the tools.
Right. What does a gang do? Intimidate.
Mm-hmm.
And they bully. And they damage and they injure and they kill. That's what a gang does. The U.S. government is, like I said, they're not legal. They're organized crime.
That's right.
And they've gotten away with it, you know, going back 100, 150, 200 years and they just implement step after step after step. And each time they put something in, like, you know, an income tax,
mm-hmm.
Or a Federal Reserve, all they got to do is shut people up for a generation until the punks come along, like the ones you talk about, you know, Gen Z or whatever you're talking about, that think that it's always been that way and it's legal, you know, and they just wait for the old farts to die and, so they're shut up. And then, oh, now we got the internet so we can get rid of, we can change what it says in books,
mm-hmm.
At least the digital ones.
Right, the Ministry of Truth.
Yeah, and how many people are holding, you know, 50 or 100 or 150 year old books in their house to read and see what was fact and truth 100 years ago? How many people have a 100 year old book in their house?
Not very as many few. as yeah. used to.
Yeah, and let me add also that a lot of that, you know, I'm no expert on anything, you know, well maybe one or two things, but not on this stuff. But I do hear people who would be taken as experts on media in recent years, saying things that I've said, 5 or 10 years ago. And one fun one that I like a lot because it's my viewpoint is I heard a guy who is he actually is a 30-year law enforcement dude, and he says that we are now at the point where the only solution to this mess is one or two, either. And this is authorized by the U.S. Constitution, either a military tribunal takes out the illegal government and restores,
as though the military itself isn't, you know, a violent group of government
people. He covered that. And he, on that subject, what he said is that the general officers, the generals, are all political, and they won't do it. But the junior officers that are below the rank of general who watch their friends die for nothing all over the world, they will take out this government. And the military tribunal is not run by generals. Yeah. It's run by the junior officers.
Yeah, don't hold your breath. And what was the second option?
The second option is we have a revolution, and I think I'm going to correct him on that, because technically it would not be a revolution because a revolution would be overthrowing a legitimate government. This is not a legitimate government. This would be the legitimate government trying to push out organized crime.
Yeah, there's another option, which is peaceful secession. So, I mean, I understand why people like to tout revolution, but the reality is it's a violent act.
I gotta come back for that one too. Mm. It's, you know, secede to one state at a time, or, you know, or however many times secede, and get out of the house that is the United States.
Right.
And my attitude is, this is my house. You get out, especially since you're illegal government.
Yeah, well, I wish you the best of luck with that approach.
I don't know about that, illegal or not. I think that's a terrible argument to make, because what's legal is whatever the government says it is.
Well, yeah, they don't think they're illegal.
It's immoral. It's a moral issue here, guys.
That's not how it works.
I think you're living
in a fantasy, tell it to the judge.
Yeah, fantasy land here, if you think otherwise. I think the best thing we have going for us is that the moral thing is what they're doing is wrong, and that's why it should go away. Not because it's illegal.
Mm, yeah, that's a great point.
Well, I would argue that they're one and the same.
All right, thank you for the call tonight. The number here is 603-283-6160. The reality is, if you're going to try a revolution, okay, that always comes with violence, right? Like, there's not really a peaceful way to do what he was hinting at there,
mm-hmm.
right? He literally was talking about overthrowing the government,
sure.
Okay? That means you have to use violence. And they are ready for you, okay?
Yeah.
They are prepared for this. They have their guns. They have their troops. They have their FBI agents. They have their agents infiltrating your groups as we speak.
There's not enough people willing to do that. They have to fabricate them. They have to create people
in order
to have enough employment in order to sustain their employment.
There's a good chance if there was a, quote, revolution attempt in the United States that it would be mostly federal agents that were doing it. Kind of like the January 6th thing, which wasn't a revolution. It was just some people touring the Capitol without permission. But as it turns out, it looks like the federal agents were involved in setting that up, too. So they set the thing up, and then they take down as many of the participants as they possibly can.
There's actual video of them letting people in, letting the crowds in.
Yeah.
I don't even know, like, how anybody could believe that the courts are not entirely, like, they're just a joke as far as, like, dealing some sort of, justice, I guess. Mm-hmm. I guess is the choice word. They don't provide justice. It's one big joke.
And then you got remember the story of the Michigan governor who they were gonna like kidnap her or whatever during COVID. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, I remember that.
You know who was involved with that, right?
Oh yeah,
the FBI.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, you know, people might be thinking like, I'm a January 6th supporter. I'm not. I didn't vote for Trump. I would never vote for Trump.
Right.
You know, I'm not coming at it from a Democrat or Republican perspective because I'm a libertarian. So it's like I can see what's happening.
Yeah, and that's the other problem with a revolution. Even if you could pull it off. Which, you know, they got all kinds of guns. It's a terrible strategy. Yeah. Even if you could pull it off, well, then you're just talking about replacing the existing thugs with a new set of thugs.
Mm.
The people that are going to be leading that particular revolution are the ones who are going to be seeking power when it's all said and done. And they're not going to be liberty-loving people, right? Most liberty people just want to be left alone.
You know, I think this is an interesting point you're sort of getting into here about why I think Independence, New Hampshire, like, I don't think just independence in and of itself is going to have any positive impact pretty much anywhere in the world, except if you combine it with a migration.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
You know, you have to have both parts.
Mm-hmm. In this case, it's a migration of liberty-minded people, libertarians, voluntarists, liberty-loving anarchists coming to New Hampshire, who could then foment not a revolution, but a secession, a peaceful secession, a declaration of independence from the United States saying, all right, we tried this, we're out. Okay, we're just going our own separate way. We're going to be over here doing our thing in New Hampshire. We're going to be free. We're going to let, you know, we're freer than any other place on the planet. We still have a terrible state government that we have to deal with, but it's not as bad as the rest of the state governments. New Hampshire is currently the number one most free state, according to the Cato Institute Freedom of the 50 States study. And we will be more free without the federal government on our backs. Instantly, we'll be more free.
Yep.
Without that,
you know, I think there's some of the fears that people have with independence, especially people when we're talking
fear
about
like, the unknowns, the number one
unknowns for yeah. sure. But I think people don't understand what an independent state or independent states could look like, right? Like we have this idea that if New Hampshire became independent, that there would be border guards and you have to have a passport in order to cross between New Hampshire and Massachusetts or, you know, Maine or whatever. And that's not necessarily the case. There's lots of countries that do not have border guards or passport checks when traveling between countries. This is something that, in fact, this is actually something that's a modern invention. I believe World War One or World War II.
World War II, I think, is when the passport came around.
Right. So, you know, this idea that, like...
That's less than 100 years ago.
Right. Like, yeah. this isn't a modern invention. It doesn't have to be that way. Nothing says that, oh, there has to be border checks, you know, for trade. You know, these are all things that have been, you know, implemented, but it doesn't have to be that way, and there's a lot of examples out there where it's not that way.
I think that I agree with you, and I hope that that's the direction things go. I think that's going to be a major, major issue. It's going to be a very difficult thing, right? Because secession isn't necessarily something that is supported by just libertarians. While in a recent study that was done, which you can go to nhexit.us, in fact, I don't think we've even really talked about the study.
We haven't talked about the study?
I don't think so.
On Free Talk Live, really?
No, I don't think we have. I mentioned it, but I don't think I got into the details. But in this recent study that was done by the Survey USA was last year. Then we changed the study group to the UNH, the University of New Hampshire. One of the things that they were looking at here is... Sorry, I completely lost my train of thought of the thing that I was going to pull up from the study. you know, they were looking at various different things. They're looking at four questions about independence. And one question was, if New Hampshire were not already part of the United States, would you want New Hampshire to join? Another was, would you support or oppose New Hampshire peacefully seceding from the United States and governing itself as a separate country? And would you support or oppose the idea of New Hampshire holding a vote to find out whether voters want New Hampshire to peacefully declare independence from the United States? So there was some pretty important questions that were being asked in this particular survey, and maybe we should talk about it a little bit more coming up here. Maybe I'll remember the thing that I wanted to point out specifically about this. But if you want to join the show, you can here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. So, oh, I remember where I was going. People who support independence don't necessarily support freedom. And that's an important issue. We can flesh that out coming up here in a moment. And you can join the show as well here on Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. Special Counsel Jack Smith spoke on camera with reporters Friday, claiming there is just cause behind the federal indictment of former President Trump.
Our laws are critical to the safety and security of the United States, and they must be enforced.
Trump is charged in relation to his handling of classified documents.
A person long under his employment, Walton Nauta, has also been indicted in connection with the case. The ex-president scheduled for court Tuesday. The prime suspect in the 2005 disappearance of Natalie Holloway is pleading not guilty to extortion charges. Joran van der Sloot appeared in an Alabama court Friday after being extradited to the U.S. from Peru on Thursday. He faces charges for allegedly trying to get $250,000 from Holloway's mother. Holloway went missing while on a high school trip in Aruba in May 2005. Her body has never been found. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. We have time for you. If you join us now, the number is 603-283-6160. Get your call in here. Talk about anything that's on your mind. Again, the number is 603-283-6160. And joining you in the studio tonight, it's Ian and Chris. Make sure you check Chris out on his show. It's called Freedom Decrypted. He does it once a week from his studio at the Think Penguin Studios over at thinkpenguin.com. You can get some Linux-based computer products. You guys just got some fresh laptops in, as
yeah,
I understand.
Yeah, it's been a while, but we
finally... Are those available for sale right now?
Yes, they are now on the website.
Very exciting.
And
you've been working hard on this.
Have we ever? It took like 6 months for us to finally come out with a laptop that is not garbage, because the industry has gone in a direction that is like they moved antennas from the screen to under the laptop for the Wi-Fi, which interferes with the reception.
Yeah, big time.
And this is like just industry standard now. So
doesn't make any sense.
In order to like deviate from like the direction the rest of the industry is going, we have to have like all sorts of special different changes to like,
yeah, you had to do your own custom
design,
everything.
Yeah, like more customization than we normally would have had to have done, and so we basically have the only laptops that aren't garbage.
That's amazing.
So if we only have one at the moment, but one model, different configurations, but one model. Yeah. But yeah.
So if you care about quality, you got to get over to thinkpenguin.com, check out the new laptop they got in there. And you're doing your own show. It's called Freedom Decrypted. It's every Saturday. It happens live at 5 p.m. Eastern time. But if you can't watch live, you can also listen later or watch it later. Podcast, video downloads, all available, freedomdecrypted.com. It's for people that are into technology and freedom.
Yes.
All right, let's go to Skeeter. We can talk more about the independence survey here in a moment. But Skeeter is on the line calling us. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, I just wanted to say that I think your libertarian, well, your strategy for secession and the libertarian movement in general is deemed a failure.
Okay.
No
Why's
one
that?
Believes. No one believes that aggression is inherently evil, or that the non-aggression principle.
Well, there are people who believe that. Those are libertarians.
Yeah.
So this, it's not true that no one believes that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean no one, but the majority of people, of rational people.
You're right about that.
I don't know.
They're not rational, but the majority of people are definitely okay with aggression, and that's why we have a migration happening of freedom-minded people who are coming here to New Hampshire. And, you know, whether you're aware of it or not, Skeeter, the libertarians here are an actual force to be reckoned with on the political scene. We've got libertarians elected to state representative seats. We've got the first free stater, New Hampshire senator last year, and they know that we're here, and they are very concerned.
I don't get that strategy either.
Huh?
That strategy doesn't make sense. You guys often preach that democracy doesn't work, right? So why are you trying to fix it through the democracy system?
I don't know what you mean.
That's the system we have. We don't have a choice or control over what the system is.
Democracy may be immoral, but it is the system we're forced into.
Right.
So, we're willing to work within the system.
So you're trying to make the system work, right?
Well, the system sucks.
No, the system doesn't work, but that's why we have a migration, so that we can sort of undermine it in a sense.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is the system is there. People believe in it. So we're going to use the system. I mean, there are some anarchists who refuse to vote and don't participate in the system at all, but a lot of us believe that whatever it takes to achieve more liberty in our lifetime, we're going to do it. So maybe you've confused us with some, you know, anarchist types that don't vote. That's not who we are.
No, I just I'm pretty sure you guys think democracy doesn't work, right?
But, I think you just said that a moment ago, and I think
it doesn't work well. Just because it's the best system, you know, out there doesn't mean it works well.
Democracy is two wolves and a sheep deciding on dinner. It's an immoral system, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't function. I mean, obviously.
So you're just saying you need the right people in place for democracy to work, right?
No, I think most of us would be against the idea of democracy. I think we want to abolish the state entirely. But in order to end the state's control over people's lives, you have to do a couple of things. One, you have to change people's minds about the need for the state. And two, you have to somehow end the state in its current form.
I mean, the assumption is that you need the state to, you know, to exist or to function as a society, and that's not necessarily the case. There's lots of examples of solutions that could, and you know, in some cases, have replaced the state systems. So there was insurance, you know, before governments got into the business of, you know, medicine, right? Mm-hmm. Like you have Canada and you have a lot of Europe that has a single system that's garbage, but you know, they have it. Right. So it's not like in the United States doesn't have that system exactly, but we still have a kind of a messed up system. But it doesn't have to be a system where the government has total and utter control. There are other solutions to problems. Cryptocurrency is another example. The government doesn't have to issue crypto or have to issue a currency. You can have a cryptocurrency. You can also have other currencies that are minted that are not done by government. There's the gold back as an example. There were coins, silver and gold coins, before governments got into minting coins, I do believe anyway. So it's not like the system has to be orchestrated by a monopoly on violence.
Yeah, but small point aside. I mean, I don't think insurance is a stable system, just like fractional reserve currency. But
you're
anyway,
saying you think fractional reserve is stable or is as unstable as insurance?
Yes, well, yeah, the same. Yeah, I think they're inherently unstable, both systems.
Okay, well, the good news is you don't have to buy insurance in a place where government's not forcing you to.
Yeah, we don't even have mandatory car insurance in New Hampshire.
I actually may agree with you that insurance isn't necessarily the best system out.
Definitely not.
Yeah, I just wanted to address that little point. But my bigger point is that your movement's doomed to fail because
it's already succeeded.
When you say it's doomed to fail, what would prove to you that it had succeeded? What things happening? What criteria do you have to decide whether it has failed or succeeded?
Because the non-aggression principle is not inherently moral.
That did not answer my question. I'm asking you for specific things that you could look at. What kind of results would you need to see, or the lack thereof, those results, to prove one way or the other?
it's very funny for an anarchist to ask for me to point out the examples about the system not working or working.
That's not what I asked you for either. I asked you for criteria. You said this movement would be a failure.
An example, not criteria.
No, I'm asking you for a criteria. You said the movement would fail, and I said, what criteria do you have that you would determine whether it has failed or it has succeeded?
I don't understand. Either you're asking for an example or you're asking for a reason inherently why it won't.
Give me an example of what. In order to know something has succeeded, you have to be able to measure it, right? So the criteria in this case could be, for instance, hold on, Skeeter. You asked for this, so I'm going to explain it better to you. The criteria could be, for instance, that people are getting elected who are libertarians. Would that be an example of success or would that be an example of failure?
I didn't hear you.
People who are getting elected in New Hampshire who are libertarians. Would that be an example of success, or would that be evidence of failure?
I don't think either of your movement. I don't think either.
Well, then you're just a moron. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you.
Let me just establish that I'm also an anarchist, right?
You could have fooled me.
Market anarchist. What's that?
You could have fooled me.
Well, okay, so just let me establish that so you guys know where I'm coming from. You don't wrongly think that, you know, I'm just a normal guy who believes in democracy, right? I'm a type of free market. I'm a type of market anarchist that doesn't believe in the democracy. I think it's one of the most dangerous things out there.
Your viewpoint will ever take hold and that it could ever do anything meaningful.
I'm sorry, you're interrupting me when I couldn't hear the first point when you were interrupting me.
I'm just trying to clarify what you're saying here. You're saying you support market anarchy, but you also don't believe that it could ever succeed.
No, I don't think your type of anarchy with the foundation of the non-aggression principle can succeed. It's totally statist in its roots.
Okay, so how are you
trolling us?
Yeah, how are you going to achieve market anarchy?
He seemed to not even understand or know the terminology that he was using.
Yeah, what's your plan, dude? If our plan is so terrible, what's yours?
Say that again.
If our plan is so terrible, what is your plan, sir?
Is to work within the system to destroy it, work with its weaknesses and accentuate it.
I thought you just told us that working within the system is corrupt and not going to succeed.
I'm being interrupted like every time. Like I can't listen.
Well, you make a statement, and then I have a question about it. Okay, so you're saying
you can't even make me let me finish. Like in
go ahead.
Pause because I lost my train of thought. Just ask a question.
Well, you were trying to explain how you working within the system is somehow principled and good compared to us working within the system to try to achieve liberty.
Yeah. So let me just say, I don't think the government or democracy in particular, it doesn't work because it's inefficient. And that's, other than immoral, it being like the monopoly on aggression or whatever you guys falsely accuse it of. Falsely think that it's weaknesses.
How is that different than
you attack? In other words, you attack government on the basis of immorality. I talk it purely rationally, from an economic point of view, that it's inefficient. Right? When you have in democracy, you have like a republic, you have a pool of money where people are voting on how to spend it, and you have the tragedy of the commons and so on and so forth that makes it inefficient on how it spends the money. Right? You guys just say, all aggression is immoral, and no one believes this. And this is why your movement is doomed to fail. And none of you guys can rationally argue for it because it doesn't make sense. Like all aggression, that is silly. That's why you'll never convince even a large portion of the population that your movement is correct. You'll only get a commune of hippies. And that's what you're having now, right? You're not getting rational thinking people that establish a good rational foundation.
Okay, so you don't care about morality, and you're of the viewpoint.
I do. I just don't think no aggression is a moral system.
You're of the viewpoint that other people don't care enough about morality, and so they're going to reject the idea.
No, you're confusing your system with morality. My morality is efficiency. Okay.
Well, that's so just that's utilitarianism, sir. That's not morality.
I'm a type of utilitarian.
Yeah. So you want us to, you were saying we won't possibly succeed to get people to change the system from the inside, but that you will. How are you going to do that?
Well, no, first off, you guys say all aggression is immoral.
What is your plan, sir? I understand that you're here trying to attack what we're doing. I'm asking you your plan.
You want my alternative strategy, right? So I work within the system. I use the aggression. I use their inefficiency against them. So I vote for. You can wait for me to respond fully. And then,
you just keep on rambling, but, though, so I have to stop you at some point to ask another question.
Before I even get to it.
How are you going to use the system against itself?
So, in short, I vote for them to spend the most and vote for so through their fiscal irresponsibility. So I vote for measures that decrease the revenue, and I vote for the most spending. So I vote for things like the drug war, which you I know find inherently wrong or immoral, and I know you're fighting with and I thank you for it. You're fighting my cause for me. You suffer. You pay the cost, and I reap. Hopefully, I can reap the freedom when the government collapses through fiscal collapse.
You're an accelerationist then. You're somebody who believes that you should actually make the government larger, faster,
borrow more money.
So therefore it will fall within upon itself.
Yes,
correct?
So you want to borrow more money. You want the government to borrow more money rather than increasing taxes.
Yes. I want them to borrow more money from people who lend it to them, hopefully, so that those people who lend the money suffer the most when they can't pay it back, hopefully in the near future.
And where are you calling from tonight, Skeeter?
California.
Good luck, bro. Thanks for the call. All right. We continue with Mikey calling from Manchester, New Hampshire. Go ahead, Mikey.
I'm actually closer to Concord, but I just received an email that my ticket has been refunded by the Free State Project for Porkfest.
Oof. All right. So this is a follow-up on the discussion we had previously where you had called in when we were interviewing the Porkfest organizer, Dennis Pratt, who claimed he banned you because he believed, without any real evidence, apparently, that you were messing with one of the online conferences that they were having. He had somebody who was causing an issue in a Jitsi conference, and they managed to get control of the conference room, kicked that person out, who was anonymous, and then he alleges that you then joined the conference, and then he figured that previous person must have been you for some reason, and that was his alleged reason for kicking you out.
Yeah, that's a kind of unusual line of logic to think that I would have come in anonymously and then come in, as my own. So
right.
It clearly would have been different people. But there's also another few updates related to that prior to this discovery, which I literally just discovered and managed to call in just in time. But Tuesday night I went to the New Movers Party in Manchester, and I reached out to him, and we shook hands and talked briefly and had a friendly conversation, and then Carl Garrick was there also next to him. And then later in the night, I approached him. He was around with his dog and in the middle of the room and not talking to anyone. And I said, hey, I did not do what you think I did. Again, I'm denying it.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically immediately laid into me about all kinds of things and called me a number of curses that I obviously can't say on air. And then stormed off.
Unfortunate.
I think yesterday or today he started messaging me on Telegram asking me to call him.
Mm-hmm.
I was busy at the time, so I didn't have a chance to really reply or deal with that. And I was, not really happy with the interaction the other day, so I didn't really see much reason to, respond to him right away.
Okay.
And he messaged me four times like, an insistent ex who, wants to be heard. Mm-hmm. And so I honestly did not get a chance to respond because I have a busy life.
Right.
So, and then I came home today from work and just saw a few hours ago that my ticket was refunded.
Okay. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to be disallowed from the campground, correct?
As far as I know, I have not received anything from the campground.
I mean, presumably you reserved a campsite, a year ago or whenever it was you reserved it. And that is still a campsite that is in your name. there's, to my knowledge, not any kind of security that is checking people's IDs or whatever when they come into Porkfest. There used to be years ago, and that was when the event was in a real downturn as far as...
I wonder, though, because they required a ticket in order to get a campsite.
Did they?
Rogers did, yeah.
Oh, really?
So I don't know what that means as far
I don't either.
You may want to call about your reservation and see if you still have it.
I'm going to do that, I think, at this point, but I'm site sharing with I have two sites and I'm site sharing with like six or seven people. So that would be six or seven other people who are now dumped from the site.
Oof.
And I mean, the other thing is, in my view, if Rogers were to refund this, that would constitute a breach of contract because the contract is with them. There's no mention of anything with Free State Project or an organizer or a single organizer having any veto say over, you know, that. I know they try to claim that.
I mean, what contract, though, are you claiming?
He's contracted to buy that spot.
But do they not reserve the right to kick you out if you break the rules or something along those lines?
I did look at the terms, and the only thing I can see is that if you break the rules, they can remove you. But there are contract laws and I guess traditions, you could say, that because I've made travel plans and stuff, you can't just cancel something on someone if they made, you know, I could have spent like $1,000 on travel plans and stuff, and that you're now dumping me like this for no apparent reason. I mean, in some cases you can be obligated or expected to provide alternatives.
I don't know what those terms are exist, unfortunately. So I don't know. It would kind of be surprising if they did not have something in there that was sort of a catch-all to allow them to basically kick you off your site.
Yeah, I guess we're gonna find out. I think it's an interesting question because years ago the Porcupine Freedom Festival, when it was kind of in its decline. Had locked down the campsite.
Campground.
They owned all of the spots. You had to go through them essentially to get assigned things. They had security that was checking people coming into the campground. And then that went away when the event kind of decentralized itself over the last several years. They got rid of the oppressive security feature that they had. And that allowed for anybody who wanted to come into the park and reserve a site without necessarily buying a Porkfest ticket. Now,
That's
what you're saying, Chris, is they've now started to require Porkfest tickets in order to reserve sites.
Yes.
I'm sorry to hear that. I did not know that. I don't know when that change was implemented. But this year.
Yeah.
Okay. So there were a few years there where that wasn't a requirement.
They make that claim every year, and I don't know to what extent that's enforced.
Did you have to show a ticket or prove when you reserved your site, Mikey, that you had a ticket?
I don't remember. Plus, they know me well.
I'm pretty sure that I did.
Oh, I can't speak to it because we cut a deal directly with the owner of the campground, so we didn't have to show tickets in order to get that deal, but that may be different than the average person.
The other thing is I inquired with the organization about if there was some sort of contract between FST and Rogers regarding this, and I did not receive, I wasn't told anything, so...
Mm-hmm.
My view is that there is no such contract, and if there was some sort of agreement or contract, that you would essentially have to disclose that to people renting.
You know, one of the things I will say is that, you know, the campground, Rogers, and I think in particular the Free State Project and organizers have not been very clear when they've gone and they've banned somebody as to what, you know, they have actually done.
Yeah, what's the mechanism? I mean, previously, I think
there's so much opacity.
Yeah.
I actually looked back at the old minutes of the board to look at your supposed ban and Cantwell's ban, and it's very vague.
Yeah, well, even then they had the whole board vote on it, and in this case it doesn't appear there's been any kind of board action yet. This is just a unilateral ban by the organizer.
I've also heard that I think last year he tried to ban, I think, Rochelle Kelly, and this year Justin O'Donnell said he was they tried to ban him too. So it seems there's a lot of petty personal bannings here,
yeah.
And not, you know, not like a.
I know I heard Justin O'Donnell is going to protest the event and not attend.
Yeah, it does seem like banned. There's a lot of petty stuff that happens, you know, with this, you know. Just,
I've never seen this before from any organizer before. This is just insanity.
You know, I understand where Dennis is coming from. I mean, you can be, you know, you can be a jerk sometimes, but I don't think it's appropriate to ban you from Porkfest the event, opposed to a particular room.
Kick you out of a chat room, yeah. Sure, but not the event.
It just sends the wrong message.
Yeah. Thanks, Mikey, for the call tonight. Appreciate hearing from you. We actually have somebody calling in here from Lancaster, New Hampshire. Caller, what's your name?
Francisco.
Francisco, you're on the air. What's on your mind tonight?
Hi. This guy seems like a big jerk.
Okay.
Mikey.
What's his name?
Mikey.
The other guy.
Oh, the organizer.
No, the guy he's talking about.
Oh, Dennis. Dennis is the organizer of Porkfest this year.
Yeah, I've heard about this guy.
Mm-hmm.
He seems like a violent criminal.
why do you say that?
If there was no state in Lancaster, New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
And someone came along and claimed that they had an authority to ban you from a private property that they did not own and had no contract to, and asserted that they would enforce that, what would that make them?
That's a good question.
I mean, the problem is that there probably is a contract of some sort. We just don't know what that contract is.
No, there isn't. There is not one. There is not
Well, clearly there's a contract of some kind, because there was a contract between Mikey and Rogers, and there was a contract between the Pork FSP and Rogers, because they're reserving spot. Yep. They're reserving some sort of space for their events. I mean, obviously there's some sort of contract. The question is,
we all know,
what are those contracts?
Long-time caller here. A long-time listener, first-time caller, but I know all about this podcast.
Yes.
Okay.
I know the agreement is that this organization rents certain parts of the campground.
Correct.
Like this guy's violent. He's violent. He's a criminal. And anyone who talks to him should be excommunicated.
Francisco, are you going to be attending Porkfest? That's the question, though.
I'll be at Porkfest.
All right. I look forward to maybe I'll
see you
there.
I don't have a ticket. So
all right, man. Hey, thanks for the call tonight. Out of time. If you didn't get in tonight, we are back tomorrow. See you then.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is a process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Have you heard the warning from the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.